This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Are we on? Terrific. Joyce, welcome to another edition of Joy's very own show about pets. My name is Oz, keeping you company. Joining me in the studio for her Pets Allowed debut is animal lover and veterinarian at our Frank Sanway's Veterinary Clinic, Elle Latch. Welcome
Hi.
To the program.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Now, Elle, we've been looking forward to having you on the show, of course. You have been a practicing vet at our clinic for the last 3 or so years.
Every day is a little bit different, you know, like not just the cases and the conditions, but every single animal has its own personality and its own mood that we have to accommodate. So yeah, it's just a different day every single day.
And you'd get so many cases every day coming through. Are you yeah. finding that you're learning different things
all
every day because
time.
Of that?
All the time, really. I think all vets will tell you it's a job that you never stop learning in, because it's just an endless amount of information. But yeah, if you're lucky enough to work at a fairly busy practice, you do get to learn every day in the job as well, you know, just with the workload. So it's great, really good.
Now, when we speak to vets, a lot of the time they say that being a vet was always a dream job for them, and it started quite young. Is that the case for you?
Definitely, definitely. I think a lot of vets do say that, probably because it's true. It takes a lot of years to become a vet, a lot of time, a lot of hard work. So I think unless it's your dream job, it's just not worth it. So no, I think luckily people are in it for the right reasons. And yeah, it was also my dream as a really young girl, so I'm glad I got there.
And you did your placement actually at the Lost Dogs
Home,
didn't you?
Yeah, I did. So I was one of those lost and scared students walking around. But it was actually my favourite placement, and then yeah. I was really lucky to get a position.
Now, I have to ask about your pet, because yes. this is what we do on this show.
Of course, yeah, I know.
You've got a cheeky 4-year-old ginger ninja called Mango. Tell us a bit about Mango.
Oh, Mango is a troublemaker. I've had him since he was just tiny, and yeah, he's very loved, and he likes the occasional cuddle, but it really does have to be on his terms, and I think a lot of listeners probably understand that all too well. Mm-hmm. But no, he brings so much joy to me. You know, I can't imagine a household without a cat.
And thankfully, you are a cat lover, because cat lovers and all-round curious folk, you've got to prick your ears up for this show. It's going to be fantastic. Elle and I will be trawling through history and vet school textbooks to explore all that's fascinating about felines. Also coming up on Pets Allowed today.
So you think the ancient Egyptians first domesticated cats? Think again. We'll find out who is believed to have first tamed the lion in the domestic cat we know today.
We'll also find out what gives the cat their notorious agility and sense of balance.
There are plenty of old wives' tales, and for some reason, so many are about cats. So we'll bust just a few of the common ones today.
The Pets Allowed News Wrap. A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
That's right. It's that time of the program where we check out the news of the week at the Lost Dogs Home. And on top of our news bulletin, we've got paw mate adoptions. Now, we've been on a quest at the home to find our long-termers their paw mates. And we're thrilled to report that Terrific Taco, the Pocket Rocket, Little Terrier Mix, and Bear out of our from our Pet of the Week last week were both adopted in the last couple of days.
Yeah. After waiting for almost 3 months, Taco was adopted from our Chuka shelter by a couple who had also adopted Gypsy, the Rottweiler mix, from our North Melbourne shelter in December. Over at our cat adoption centre in North Melbourne, shy girl Bear was adopted after waiting almost 5 months by a cat lover who had visited the centre a number of times before noticing her. On that fateful day, and contrary to her usual behaviour, Bear decided to actually step out of her hideout and greet her adopter. It was soon clear that Bear had found her poor mate when she was taken out of her condo and immediately connected with her adopter.
It's just terrific news. Yeah. These, you know, cats and dogs that are in our Paw Mate group have been with us for at least 1 month.
Yeah.
And as you heard, some a few months. And actually last week, Sharon and I did the program all about them. And
oh, great.
Yeah, it's just great to see the results over the last week that they've actually found a home.
Let's have more.
Yes. And thank you to all of you who shared their profiles and helped us get the word about out about Taco and Bear. Now, also in our news wrap, we had an announcement for a half-price adoptions promotion. So from outgoing dogs ideal for active owners to couch companion cats for those who love the great indoors, you're bound to find your perfect match with a range of terrific adoption candidates that we currently have at our shelters. And as an added bonus, adopt from now right through to March 3 and receive 50% off the adoption fee of all our shelter animals at North Melbourne and Caspi. So this includes cats, kittens, dogs, as well as puppies.
Definitely. And in the spotlight are over 50 adult cats, including 5-year-old Sabrina, who sadly, despite her wonderful attributes, is continuously overlooked. All adoption candidates come fully health checked, vaccinated, wormed, de-sexed and microchipped. Services and treatments are valued at over $300.
Elle, you would know all about that because being a vet at our shelter.
Yeah, definitely.
It's at least $300 because some actually receive surgery to fix, you know, a whole range of issues.
Exactly. It's definitely not a lie. We do treat all of them and some of them do need much more than just the regular de-sexing, you know, minor surgeries, treating minor conditions with medication. And luckily we are able to do that, but the price always stays the same for the customers. So, yeah. Hopefully some of these guys will go out soon.
And of course, we want them to go into loving homes and forever homes. So to qualify for the discount, you need to sit the pet license test.
Yeah.
You can check it out. It's at petlicense.com.au. And it's not an exam. Okay, guys,
no.
Relax.
No, don't be scared.
you will not need to study for hours on end. It's just to test your general responsible pet ownership knowledge, brush up on some stuff that you may have forgotten. You can resit the test. But once you do, you get a unique number which you can bring into the shelter and qualify for the discount. So I bet you're asking, what is the adoption fees now? So kittens are?
So kittens, which are animals under 6 months, are $85. Adult cats are $47.50. And puppies and dogs are $150.
So that's with the half price discount that's currently active at the Lost Dogs home at both of our North Melbourne and Campaspe shelters until March 3. If you missed out on any of those details, do stay tuned towards the end of the program. We will be reminding you of them. Now it's time for
this week's Pet of the Week.
And this week we have a very delightful, suave-looking black cat by the name Jaguar. Tell us about Jaguar, Elle.
So Jaguar is a 4-year-old male. He is very appropriately named Jaguar as he is a pure black cat. He, of course, has had all the health checks. He's been vaccinated, wormed and microchipped. So I'll just let you know a little bit about Jaguar. He's a beautiful boy with a lovely nature. He actively seeks out affection and he will often rub up against your legs and try and entice you into giving him some extra pats. Jaguar is especially fond of receiving full body pats and will often purr loudly and profusely when he is content. Unfortunately, Jaguar isn't a fan of being around dogs or cats though, so he will need to go to a home with no dogs or other cats. He has been treated for cat flu as well, so please do discuss this with a member of staff if you do have any further questions.
Actually, why we have you in the studio? Cat flu. Can we? I mean,
cat flu.
It's not a big deal in that it's something that you can.
Exactly.
And look after.
Exactly. It is nothing to be scared of. Cat flu is just a group of viruses. It's very similar to us getting flu. And depending on the cat, some cats will get a case and, you know, have a few sneezes and get fine and, you know, be absolutely active and not need any further treatment. Other cats, though, will get a more severe case and they may need some antibiotics. But generally, they all do make a full recovery.
And they go a lot better in a home environment where they're not stressed. So a lot of the time we do put these cats into foster care to sort of chill out. And and Jaguar will certainly appreciate a bit of home time, I think.
He would love that, yeah.
Okay, Jaguar's ID number is 971753. You can find him at our North Melbourne shelter at number 2 Gracie Street. Come along this weekend, say hi, meet him in the fur. That's Jaguar, his number 971753.
Joy 94.9.
This is indeed Joy 94.9 and you're listening to Pets Aloud. My name is Oz, and keeping me company all throughout today's program is Dr. Elle Latch, our veterinarian at the Frank Samways Clinic. Now, all throughout the program today, we're looking at what makes felines so fascinating. And I think let's take a trip back into the past. Now, often people believe that cats were domesticated by the Egyptians. But apparently, even though they feature a lot in their history and culture and so forth, they were. There's been instances found of domestication as early as the Neolithic, from around 7,500 BC.
Wow!
So that works out to be almost 10,000 years ago. But let's still acknowledge that they did play a huge role in the Egyptian culture. They were known as the Mau and played a large role in ancient Egyptian society. They were associated with goddesses Isis and Bast. Cats were also very commonly depicted in art and routinely mummified. They were sacred to Bast. The practice of mummification was extended to them as a respect that the cats received after death, that mirrored the respect with which they were treated in everyday life. The Greek historian Herodotus wrote that it's in the event of a fire, men would actually guard the fire to make sure that cats didn't run into it and get into trouble. Also, when a cat died, it was believed that the household would go into mourning as if, you know, a human relative had passed, and often shave their eyebrows to signify their loss.
Isn't that incredible? Very dedicated.
Yeah. I mean, we're very attached to our pets these days, but they certainly had a very big part in the Egyptian culture and history. Today, cats, according to the Scientific American Journal, are the most popular pets in the world.
That's very interesting. I wouldn't have guessed that.
I was pretty surprised because I thought maybe dogs would have been up there.
Yeah, same.
But a third of American households actually own cats. And, I mean, you know, we've got to keep a loose understanding of this actual statistics, because it would be very hard to research, but about 600 million cats are believed to live among humans worldwide.
That's a big figure.
That's massive.
Yeah.
So cats play a huge part in our lives, but they also played a huge part in the lives of a few famous people as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Apparently Abraham Lincoln had a cat.
Yeah, I only found this out recently as well. So Tabby and Dixie were Abraham Lincoln's cats. And Lincoln once remarked that Dixie is smarter than my whole cabinet.
I love that.
They would have loved that.
And Edgar Allan Poe's cat actually inspired his story, The Black Cat, and her name was Katerina with a C. And Charles Dickens, actually, his quote really is quite beautiful. He's said about his own cats and how they influenced himself, what a greater gift than the love of a cat. That's beautiful. And his cat would sit at his entrance for a while he was riding. Lots of interesting little anecdotes there. So a lot of cats have influenced people in history and in time. But let's now find out a bit more about what makes them so amazing. Up next, we're going to have a look at cats' amazing sense of balance and, you know, why that they are so agile. You're on Joy 94.9.
Well.
Victorian AIDS Council presents Well on Joy, the show that's all about sex, health and well-being.
Well.
Joy. Tuesdays from noon on Joy, Well, Well, Well is your one stop for expert advice, real stories, honest, informed conversations and unvarnished opinion. Brought to you by Joy sponsor, the Victorian AIDS Council. Well, 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 tune in and get informed.
A diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
You are indeed on Joy 94.9 and this is Pets Allowed. And keeping me company all throughout today's program is Dr. L. Latch, veterinarian at our Frank Samways Veterinary Clinic. Now, we are looking at what make felines fascinating. I have a cat myself, and I've just sat back on many occasions in absolute awe witnessing how amazingly agile my cat is. She'll just jump vertically, you know, with no assistance.
It's
and
crazy.
Usually no
it's
reason.
Absolutely crazy.
I don't know why,
yeah.
But she'll just jump.
Just to show off.
She also is terrific at balancing on top of cupboards and so forth. So let's now delve under their coats, Elle, and find out a bit more about cats. Now, starting off with the tail, is it true that cats use their tails not only to balance but also communicate?
Yeah, definitely. Cats do have this amazing and precise control of their tail, and they use it to balance. And we have seen that cats, after having their tails amputated, often do need a bit of time to adjust and regain that balance. But they also definitely use it to communicate.
And so, in terms of communicating, as cat owners, we will have noticed the different movements. What does erect and fur flat mean? So when the tail's up like a radar.
Yeah, so when it's up but the fur seems naturally positioned, the cat's usually just alert, maybe a bit inquisitive, usually quite happy and relaxed.
Fur standing on end, this one you should be careful of.
Definitely. I think this is a case in, you know, you could probably apply it to a lot of animals, but if the fur is up, the cat's usually either angry or, maybe a bit frightened and probably on alert.
Held very low or tucked between their legs?
Insecure, maybe a little bit nervous about the situation they're in.
What about thrashing back and forth?
Well, this definitely means they're agitated. So I would say if you're holding a cat that has a thrashing tail, just let go. Just put it down and walk away because they've had enough.
Just take the cue.
Just take the
it's
cue,
time
please.
To put them down. Straight up and quivering is an interesting one because I never had a cat that did this until my recent cat, and I didn't really know what to make of it. So the tip of the tail really is the part that quivers.
Yeah, it's almost like a little rattle tail. Usually this means that they're quite happy and excited. Occasionally they do it if they're about to spray. So if your cat is spraying, they will often get into position and do this. But generally it's when they're just happy and they're, you know, they're very excited.
Okay, so going further down, their skeleton and muscles. There are countless home videos online of cats doing incredible things with their bodies. I've seen one of a cat going through under a door.
Oh, incredible.
How do they do this? What a part of their anatomy enables them to do this?
Yeah, well, cats, they have over 240 bones in their body. 60 are their vertebrae, and 20 are just in their tail alone. So you can imagine, you know, they've got a lot more ability than us. Cats are just naturally very flexible. They're able to curve their body almost completely into a nice little ball, you know, as we've seen them do in the past.
There's videos of cats just, you know, off their own accord wanting to climb into a glass bowl.
Oh, of course,
you know,
yeah.
And then they just fit.
And they fit perfectly, yeah.
Outside of the bowl, they're larger than the bowl. But
yeah, and humans don't look quite the same trying that.
No, unless you're double jointed.
And then, yeah, maybe then.
And so they've got a unique forearm that enables them to do some of this stuff.
Yeah, so their arms are quite different. They're attached to their shoulder by just a free floating bone. So they're quite narrow in that sense, and generally the rule is if their head can fit, the rest of their body will follow. Having said that, if your cat is overweight, that rule obviously doesn't always apply.
So you should certainly, for other reasons too, for their health and well-being, keep an eye on their weight.
Of course, yes, definitely.
Cats are renowned for the catwalk. Is there a certain part of their body, their legs, their anatomy that does this?
Yeah, so cats are what you call jittergrates. So they directly walk on their toes, just like dogs. And with their walking, it's very precise. So they tend to put their hind paws exactly where their front paws were. And this tends to minimize the noise they're making, but also the visible tracks they make. So obviously this would have been quite handy in the wild. Mm-hmm. They're quite unique in that sense as well.
They're just so fascinating. Incredible. And that's exactly why we had to pull together a whole show for this. And just quickly, their ears. You are quite fond of cat ears, aren't
I
you?
I love cat ears. They're my favorite. Cat ears are just incredible. I mean, obviously their hearing is much better than ours, but their actual ears are quite complex. You know, they've got a lot of muscles involved in their ears. And we've all seen how cats can actually move their ears in any direction almost. So they follow the sound, so they can gather even more information that way. Mm. But again, like their tail, their ears are really good at being able to show how they're feeling, their emotion, and a way of communicating with each other.
And of course, a way of communicating with us in a way that of us understanding
indirectly,
their behavior.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep. So if ears are flicked back.
Ears flicked back again, step away. The cat isn't very happy, might be angry, might be scared. Uh-huh. So it flicked back and down, usually is followed by a growl or a hiss. Whereas if the ears are nice and upright and in their natural position, that's often a good sign.
Okay, so let's check out a couple of did you knows about cats. Now, I can be a bit of a helicopter parent with my cat. And one thing I was really embarrassed about was when I actually asked one of the vets, it would have been Alan, actually, why is Jeff's heart racing?
Yeah.
Is there something wrong?
So, you know, you're a concerned owner, which is a great thing, but cats do have a much faster heart rate than us. Mm. So more than double. So naturally a cat's heart rate is 140 to 220 beats per minute. So
they're pumping blood.
Fast. Exactly. So, you know, generally speaking, if you put your hand on their heart and have a feel, they will usually be going fast. Yeah.
Okay. And what about their temperature?
Yeah, they're much warmer than us as well. So they're normally between 38 to 39, just over 39 degrees. So again, often we get clients worried because they feel their pet and they think, oh, it feels a bit warm. And often it's completely normal. But again, of course, do come in and check.
Now, we know that cats have a heightened sense of smell as well as sight, but what in particular about their smelling is interesting?
Yeah, well, there is this amazing organ in a cat called the vomeronasal organ, and it helps cats detect even the tiniest amount of chemicals or other smells in their environment. So again, it really does help with, you know, the territorial behavior and hunting prey and all those kind of things.
But taste, on the other hand, isn't so developed with certain flavors.
This is quite interesting. So some studies have shown that cats do lack a receptor for sweetness. So in other words, they don't really register how sweet something is. They do, of course, still do sense, you know, the sour, the salty and all those others. But sweetness doesn't make any difference to a cat.
And you shouldn't be feeding them sweet stuff anyway.
No, exactly. They really don't need it.
Don't need it.
No.
Okay. Well, all very fascinating stuff, because this is indeed our show about fascinating felines here on Joy 94.9. We are going to continue talking about what makes felines so fascinating very soon.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
This is Pets Allowed. My name is Oz, and keeping me company all throughout today's program is Dr. Elle Latch. Are you enjoying the show?
Oh, I'm having a great time. Thank you.
It goes pretty fast, doesn't it?
It does. It really does.
And the weeks go fast too, and already we're almost near another weekend.
Yay. Beach weather.
Beach weather. Mm. Exactly. Exactly my thoughts, Elle. But it's always important to look out for your pets as well. So just a couple of notes. You know, make sure that they're always hydrated. Especially if you've got a large dog, keep a couple of bowls of water around, because they do tend to knock them over.
Yeah, you got to have plenty of water. One piece of advice is maybe have some iced water. So put some water bowls into the freezer, let them ice over. That way they can't knock it over and they've got really cold water the whole time. But yeah, especially if you've got, you know, really fluffy dogs or dogs that, you know, have those short little noses that we love them for, like those little pugs and things like that. They tend to have a bit of trouble anyways, even when it's not hot. So yeah, and obviously shade, lots of water, minimal exercise. And if you need to, you know, use some wet towels and things like that to cool them down.
And cats?
And cats, same principle. Cats are usually a bit better at finding the shade and keeping themselves cool. So usually what we need to do is just provide water. Because yeah, luckily we're not out there exercising cats when it's 40 degrees. So yeah, just be mindful of that. Yeah, if it's a bit hot, you know, you can miss a day of exercise, really. I give you permission.
And if you're at home and you've got a dog, bring them indoors.
Yeah,
you know,
it's going to get quite
hot. So work on the aircon. Obviously, don't sit them right in front of the aircon or fan. But just share
them
the cool.
Yeah, and of course, no dogs in cars, please.
No, absolutely not. And it does not matter what weather it is.
Yeah,
it's it can be dangerous no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. Some good tips there. And all throughout the program, we are actually talking about felines. We're going to get back to them shortly. Now, Elle, there are far too many myths when it comes to cats. One being they always land on their feet and they have an innate disliking of babies.
Yes.
So we're going to bust just a couple of these common ones.
Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Elle, now we're going to talk about some old wives' tales when it comes to cats. And for some reason, there are way too many.
So let's
bust them. Now, first up on the list is that cats always land on their feet. And this is actually quite a common held belief.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it is definitely a myth. I have seen numerous injuries from cats, you know, landing badly, breaking bones, things like that, you know, just by jumping off a balcony of a two-story. So, no, they definitely do not land on their feet every time.
And it's definitely not something that you should try.
No. Unnecessary.
No, not at all. Cats rely on their whiskers for balance. And if they lose a whisker, then they lose their balance, apparently.
Yeah, people do say that. But there doesn't seem to be any proof to that. We don't think whiskers are involved in balance. They're more like receptors. So they provide another sensory mechanism, really, rather than balance.
So would I be right in saying that they use their whiskers to gauge whether they can get their head into a certain space?
Yeah, maybe.
So
but
like a
also,
spatial kind of thing?
Yeah, spatial and also just the feel of it because their senses, their whiskers aren't like fur. They're actually much more sensitive, thicker, more complex than that.
So like receptors.
Yeah, exactly, like receptors. Mm.
Cats don't need exercise. This is another myth because, you know, people generally think that it's just the dogs that really need exercise.
No, the cats definitely do need exercise. Exercise is so important, not only for weight management, but also for mental stimulation. You know, we can't have them just sleeping all day.
Really?
No, we can't. You try and tell them that. But
I know I tend to, Jeff actually put on some weight when Dad was looking after her a little too well while we were overseas for 4 weeks. And she put on a couple of kilograms, actually. Yeah. So what we do is we play with a toy like the Diburge, which we talk about a lot on the program, in the mornings because she's very peppy in the mornings.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
She's very up and going. She already wants to have a bit of a play.
Yeah.
And she's a 4-year-old cat, so you know, and that
she
rides against
it.
The fact that people think that, you know, adult cats don't like to play, but they
love it. So if you can find a way where you're interacting with them and at the same time they're getting a bit of exercise, perfect. Win-win.
Another myth: pregnant women should avoid cats due to possible disease infection.
Yeah. So often people are concerned about toxoplasmosis. And look, it's not necessary to avoid your cats or get rid of your cats. You definitely do need to take some precautions though. So ideally should not be touching cat litter at all. And if they do need to, because they're the only ones doing it, then, you know, wear gloves and make sure you wash your hands with soap water afterwards. And another really important fact is that what we're worried about, this disease, it only becomes infectious once the litter has been out of the feces, sorry, has been out of the cat for over a day. So in other words, if you're changing the litter every single day and you're not letting it sit there for longer than that, you're fairly safe in already.
Okay.
Yeah. So you just have to make sure you're changing the litter, getting rid of that poo every single day, disinfecting the litter tray with boiling water. And in, you know, there's not really a chance that you could have that infectious element in the poo sitting there.
And protecting yourself with gloves and using Dettol.
Exactly. You know, all those things, they make a difference. So yeah, but ideally, you know, look, if you're pregnant and you can just avoid it altogether, that's best.
And it's, yeah, it's good to share this information with people you know too. So, you know, it might not be something that you're experiencing, but another baby one is that all cats don't like babies.
This is another myth for sure. There are obviously some cats that don't. You know, it's a very individual personality type. So some cats will avoid them, and other cats actually do love babies and will become very nurturing. You know, their mama instinct comes out and they want to be around the baby. They want to lick the baby. So, you know, every case is individual and different.
And there was, and I know some cultures still believe this, there is this belief that cats will sit on a baby, but that's not, it's because they're heat seekers.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you are concerned of that, it's not because, you know, they have this ulterior motive.
No, they're not trying to suffocate the baby. You know, they might be doing harm, but it's probably accidental. But of course, you know, just be aware. And if your cat's trying to get in the pram or in the cradle, just don't allow them.
And very clever thing, someone once suggested just putting a retractable fly screen on the door of the kid's bedroom.
Clever.
So there you go, you just pull that and then that avoids the cat entering
Perfect.
The room. Okay, and just finally, milk is good for cats.
No, milk definitely isn't good for cats. It does contain high levels of lactose. So in a way, you know, cats and dogs tend to be kind of lactose intolerant, like a lot of us. So they do tend to get, you know, upset stomachs and diarrhea and things like that. So, and there's really no health benefit to giving them milk. So again, best just not to.
It's kind of a cultural thing, isn't it? It would have been in our storybooks growing up and
exactly.
so forth.
But no, they just need water as adults, just water.
Okay, well, we hope we've enlightened you on some of those common held myths.
Bringing a little joy to your life. Joy 94.9.
Your pet's community calendar.
This is Dog Dates.
That's it. This is for all the sociable dogs and sometimes cats out there. We've got your dog dates coming your way. And up at the top, we're actually encouraging you to adopt via our Adopt-a-thon at the Lost Dogs Home at both Campaspe and North Melbourne shelters. Tell us more.
So currently we have 50% off cats, kittens, dogs and puppies on completion of a pet license. So yeah, it has already started and it is valid until March 3rd. So yeah, as Oz mentioned, in both North Melbourne and Echuca, cats, kittens are $85. So that's any cats 6 months or under. Adult cats are going for $47.50 and puppies and dogs are $150.
This is terrific value, guys, considering we do put over $300 into vet care and treatments, including microchipping, worming, vaccinating.
De-sexing.
De-sexing is a big one.
Yeah.
And any other added costs. I know that, you know, we do a lot of dentistry, a lot of dental work.
Lots of dentistry.
A lot of patella surgeries.
Yeah, we basically want to, you know, get them as ready as we can. So a lot of them do need a little extra work here and there.
They do, just to reach their potential.
Exactly.
Now, of course, if you are renting, we do advise that you bring along your rental agreement to show that you have spoken to your landlord and that they're aware that or that you're going to be keeping a cat or a dog in your house. And also to complete the pet license test at petlicense.com.au. Again, it's not an exam, so relax. It's all good. Just check it out. It's just some basic questions about pet ownership. You can do that at petlicense.com.au. If you want to check out all of our cats and dogs, visit dogshome.com. They've each got a profile there and their ID numbers. So, you know, have a flick through and then come in person, I think. I always recommend that.
Oh, of course.
Because people might select, you know, one online and then they come in and when they meet them in the fair, it's a whole
quite
situation.
Right. Yeah. Definitely.
Also coming up, actually next weekend on February 28 and March 1 at the Melbourne Showgrounds is the Melbourne Pet Animal Expo. We're going to be there. We'll be doing loads of things on our stall. We'll also, actually, a celebrity vet, Dr. Katrina Warren, will be live on the Medibank Pet Insurance main stage doing a bunch of cool stuff as well. Next week on the program, we'll tell you more about that. But you can certainly find out more by jumping onto your search engine and looking up Melbourne Pet Expo, Animal Expo, at the Melbourne Showgrounds this coming weekend. Okay, this has been Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. We're just about to wrap up the show. Before we do, Al, let's remind listeners of Jaguar's ID number.
Yeah, Jaguar ID number is 971753.
Jaguar was our pet of the week and is a beautiful black domestic short hair cross. He's fabulous. He's 4 years old. Meet him in person at number 2 Gracie Street, North Melbourne. Now, if you want to catch up on any of our shows, check out our profile page at joy.org.au/petsallowed. Thank you so much for joining me on the program today,
Not
Al.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
We're looking forward to having you back on Pets Allowed very soon. Don't forget to walk your dogs and pat your cats. Pat your cats. This is Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Pets Allowed, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.